about 20 miles each day, riding on a donkey, full day. So they couldn't find a place to stay, and so they had to take a stable. That's all that was available. The Bible says in verse number 7 there of Luke chapter number 2 that she laid him in a manger. You know what a manger is? A manger is a feed box. That's where they put feed for the cattle, for the whatever's there. They probably had some cows there and sheep and goats and goats around, maybe a donkey or two or something like that. There might have been some manure scattered around here and there, stuff like that. I grew up on a dairy, and my daddy used to always tell me, a little bit of manure won't hurt you. A little bit, you know, it never will hurt you. People don't like it, you know, but it's not going to hurt you. There was some of that around. That's where Jesus was born. He didn't come to the Holiday Inn. That's not where he was born. Or the Marriott Motel or something like that. No, that's not where Jesus Christ was born. He was born in a manger, in a stable, and that tells me some things. That tells me, number one, that tells me that God uses ordinary things, ordinary circumstances. They don't seem to be special, and they don't seem to be important at the time. But that's what God uses. God uses little things. Of course, he can use big things, but he uses little things, things that happen every day. That's what God uses. God used a stick for a rod. Moses had a rod, or it was called Aaron's rod, I think, and he opened the Red Sea with that. He held that rod up, and the Red Sea opened up. And that's the kind of things that God uses. He doesn't have to have big expensive things in order to do great things. He uses small things. God used the jawbone of an ass. The jawbone of a donkey one time to in battle, and Samson killed 1,000 men, the Bible says, with the jawbone of an ass. That's what God can do, see, in battle. He used 5 smooth stones. David stopped whenever he, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, to fight the giant, and he stooped down and he had a pouch and he picked up, the Bible says, in a riverbed, he picked up 5 smooth stones and he used that. He just took one of them, and he killed the giant with that, you see. That's what you call simple weapons. That's what you need in the Christian life. In order to live a Christian life, it's not hard. It's simple, but you just use simple things. You know what you use? You just use prayer. You use the Bible. You take a King James Bible, and you read that, and you pray, and you obey God. That's all it takes. You don't have to have a computer. You don't have to have an iPhone. You don't have to spend a lot of money on it. Just do what the Bible says. That's living by faith. Just faith, you see. Doesn't cost you a thing. Now, you go out here in the world, and the world tells you to spend a whole bunch of money on this, spend a whole bunch of money on that. But you see, God, he doesn't do that. God doesn't tell you that. Use simple things. It's simple. Following God, following Jesus Christ, he uses simple things. He used a donkey one time to talk to a prophet and to rebuke a prophet. That's all God needs. He uses little things, small things, insignificant things to confound the things that are mighty, the Bible says. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why does he do that? Why does God use little things and things that are despised? He said base things. I always say that's things in the basement. You know, that's why God picked me. Things that are despised and things that are in the basement. Things like that. Why is that? You know why the Bible says that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his flesh. This flesh right here, it's no good. It's no good. He didn't choose many mighty. Not many noble did God choose. A few, but not very many. Most of the time, God uses regular people like you. And regular people like me. Just us, you know, just folks. That's the kind of people that God uses. So that's what he uses. That's what he needs. The first people to know of the birth of Jesus Christ were shepherds. Out there in the field, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, there were shepherds abiding in the field, and it was the little town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Bethlehem. Not in the great cities. It would be a small town that where Jesus would be born. Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23 that they would call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, folks, when we get to this little part right here, God with us, this is the part that we have to get right. Because if this part that I'm talking to you about now is not true, then we're all just wasting our time. If God did not come to earth, if God did not come incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ himself wasn't God, then we're all just wasting our time. If the virgin birth is not true, the incarnation, that is, that God became flesh, God dwelling among us, then we're all wasting our time. You know what that is? That's God who passed sentence on the human race. God said, you're all guilty. And then God stepped out of heaven, and he became a man, and he came to save the human race by dying on the cross and bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And that is the only way to be saved. Amen. That is the only way to be saved. See, that's John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse, verse number 18, says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But folks, listen, you see how God made it? You see how simple God made it, and God did the part that you couldn't do. God sent his Son into this world, and he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. You can't do that. If you pay for your sins, then you will have to go to hell and pay for your sins for all eternity. But God stepped out of heaven and came down to the earth, and he did for you what you could not do. He bore your sins, and he said, if you will believe that, if you will put your faith and trust in God's Son and what he did for you on the cross, then he will give you eternal life. It's free. It is called in the Bible the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life, see. It's free. Forget about your baptism. Forget about how good you are. Forget about your good deeds. Forget about your good works. Forget about what you did here and what you did there. Forget about all of that kind of stuff. No. It's just faith in a person. Faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. He shed his blood. He shed his blood on the cross. I gave you John 3:16. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul. And he said, I'm the chief. I'm the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world. He didn't come into the world so that we could put up Christmas trees and put up lights and buy Christmas presents. I'm not preaching against that this morning. I'm just saying that's not why he came, so that people could celebrate the season. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We cannot save ourselves. God said the entire world is condemned. And then God stepped out of heaven and said, I'm coming down and I'm going to make it possible. It is absolutely possible that the entire world could be saved if they will believe. Now, they're not going to, but they could. It's possible. He shed his blood on the cross for every single person. Your part is to believe that, to accept that, to accept that. Turn away from your own righteousness. Just say, I know I can't save myself. I'm not good enough. And trust Jesus Christ and his righteousness. He did it for you. He did it for you. It's already been done. Your part is to accept it, to accept that person, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. The incarnation, God with us. God with us. The incarnation speaks to us. I'm just going to give you three simple things real quickly. Number one, the incarnation, God with us, speaks to us of his humanity. His humanity. Number two, it speaks to us, number two, of his humility. Humility. And number three, it speaks to us of his holiness. His holiness. God with us. So number one, I say that the incarnation, God with us, speaks to us of the humanity of Jesus Christ. He said, God with us people. Jesus Christ became a man, God in the flesh. God in the flesh. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 3:16, that God was manifest in the flesh. God became a man, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. He became a man. He became flesh, just like you and like me. That means he got tired. That means he got weary. That means he got thirsty. That means he felt pain. That means he went out just like a man to preach and to teach. He's a preacher. He's a preacher. He's an evangelist. He traveled all over the land of Israel from Jerusalem. He probably never went further than 100 miles away. Can you imagine that he stayed in the land of Israel his whole time, his whole 33 and a half years on this earth, and yet we're still talking about him 2,000 years later, you see. Amen. And what he did in that land, out there, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, changed the entire world. Amen. God in the flesh, dying on the cross. He was a preacher and a teacher and a prophet. The Bible says in this in Hebrews 5:8. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews 5:8, that he learned obedience. He had to learn some things. You see, a lot of people think, well, God knows everything. God does know everything. But he had to come down to the earth and become flesh, and he had to learn things in the flesh. He had to learn what it's like to obey the commandments that came from him. He had to learn what it was like. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And of course, he passed the test. Amen. You see, God with us speaks to us of the humanity of Jesus Christ. He had to pray like a man. He had to get down on his face and pray in the garden the night before he died. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he took his disciples there. 11 disciples, Judas had already departed. He took 11 of them with him, and if I get my numbers right, 8 of them stayed at the gate going into the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 of them went on in with him, and then he himself went on a little farther, and he fell on his face. And the Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse number 39, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And it says in the book of Luke that as he prayed, his sweat. Have you ever prayed till you sweat? Most of us haven't. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm telling you that God with us speaks to us of the humanity. Yes, Jesus Christ was a man. He was God in the flesh. He grew up working. He grew up working like a man in a carpenter's home. Have you ever thought about this? He's a carpenter. He had 4 brothers. There's 5 boys in the family and 2 sisters, 7 kids. You see, that puts to rest the perpetual virginity of Mary. She was not a perpetual virgin. She had other children after Jesus being the firstborn. But Jesus is the oldest. Now, I don't know how much the other boys got in on it, but Jesus was a carpenter. And I can imagine Joseph and Jesus, you know, going down the road, going around to different houses and doing carpenter work. They have a donkey probably, and they've got a big two-wheel. I'm just imagining, folks. They have a two-wheel cart that they pull their tools in, and on the side, have you ever thought about this? Maybe on the side of the cart they have J&J Carpentry, Jesus and Joseph Carpentry, or maybe it's Joseph and Son, Joseph and Son's Carpentry, you know. I mean, he's a carpenter. He has calluses on his hands. That's why the people that he chose to be his apostles, his disciples, the first one, they're working men. They're fishermen, you see. That's the kind of people. He's a working man. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to work. Then one day, Jesus, when he's 30 years old, he is baptized when he's 30 years old. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 15, 16, 17. He comes in one day and he tells Joseph, he basically is like his stepfather. Because you see, he's born of the virgin, but God is his father, the God-man. The God-man. Amen. Comes in, he talks to Joseph, he said, maybe he called him dad, I don't know, father. He says, Dad, I'm going into the ministry, I'm going to be leaving. You know, that's the way it is with kids. They get up just about the time they get to where they can do something, what do? Well, they up and leave. You know, they don't stay around. Get to where they know something and they can help you, you know. I mean, that's what I did, my daddy, you know. They up and leave because they got plans of their own, you know. He's a man. He's God and man. Number two, let's go on. My time is running short. Speaks to us of his humility. God with us, God with us. He came down to be a man. Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He had to lower himself. He came from heaven to the womb of the Virgin Mary, from the womb of Virgin Mary to the world, from the world to the cross, from the cross to the tomb, from the tomb back to heaven, you see. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then he voluntarily laid down his life, and he went willingly to the cross. Folks, listen carefully. They did not have to take Jesus Christ, drag him kicking and screaming to the cross. Amen. He said, put it in there. Here's my hand. Put the nails in my hand. Here's my hand. Here's my feet. Go ahead. Give it your best shot. Put the nails in my feet. They put lashes on his back. Every time they laid a lash on his back, you know what that is? That's your sins being laid on his back. And he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered on the cross as a man, as a perfect man. Here's the thing. I hear people asking these so-called celebrity preachers, who is God and is Jesus the only way to heaven and all that. And these preachers, they give them stupid answers. They don't know what to tell them. Here's the reason that Christianity is the only way to heaven is because that every sin has to be paid for. And Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his shed blood is the only payment that there is for sin. Amen. You can pick out any kind of religion you want, but if you don't have a sacrifice for sin, you're lost. Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice for sin. It is the only sacrifice that God will accept. Amen. He will not accept your good life. Your life is not good enough. He will not accept your righteousness. You don't have any. You're unrighteous without Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Last, God with us, the incarnation, speaks to us of His holiness. It says, God with us. That's God. God Almighty is holy. And so it speaks to us of His holiness. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, I believe it's in 1 John, but I can't remember the text right now, but it says, in Him is no sin. That's 1 John. Am I right there, somebody? In Him is no sin. He is a sinless man dying for sinful people, paying for our sin debt. Does not the Bible say in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? See, that's Jesus, a sinless man dying for sinful people. That's us. And if you don't have a sacrifice, if you don't have a Savior, there's only one, then you're lost. Jesus Christ, being perfectly holy and without sin, His sacrifice satisfied God the Father. Now here's I'm going to give you a big word. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says this, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. That means that God is satisfied with the price that He paid. God's satisfied with that. It's okay. And if you'll believe that, then He's satisfied with you. He will accept you. But He can't accept you any other way. When you believe the gospel, then that satisfies God. Not your works and not your religion. You know what the gospel is? People, I'm sure people use, I don't know if they do or not, but people probably use the word gospel for all kinds of things. The gospel is very simply this, how that Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and that He was raised from the dead. That's the gospel. We preach the gospel. If you'll believe that, then God is satisfied with that. When you believe the gospel, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then God justifies you and He forgives you of your sins. And you are then, how should I say, clean, forgiven of your sins. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and make Him your Savior, and you have faith in what Jesus Christ did for you, then God will accept you. That is what satisfies God and nothing else. Not how good you are, not your baptism, not your church, not your church membership, not how many times you went to church. Forget all that. It's just Jesus. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's just that simple. If you have Jesus Christ, if you'll take Him as your Savior, then you have eternal life. If you don't, then you don't have eternal life. See, the whole world's divided into two groups of people. It's just that simple. God with us. Amen. You folks ready to sing? Amen.